Thank you, Paul, for reading to us the Word of God. And the title of this little talk is The Importance of and the Joy of Reading God's Word. And I just sense that in these times that we're in, the Lord is drawing his people into a closeness and intimacy with him. And he's teaching us how to live in his consciousness, the awareness of his presence, which is the abiding in him, the living in the consciousness of his presence, surrounded by him, cocooned in him, enveloped in him. One of my favourite scriptures is Acts 17, verse 28. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. And in some translations it says, we have our being, some it says we have our existence, and in others it says we have our identity. And all of those are true, that in Christ we live and move and have our being, our existence, and our identity. And the Lord longs to give us, to impart to us, something fresh each and every day. Like the manna that he provided for the Israelites when they escaped from slavery and they were traveling across the desert. They were completely and utterly dependent on the Lord for everything. And we too need to continually recognize our dependence on him. Because he's designed us, he created us, to need him moment by moment, to lean on him and to lean on him and completely and utterly depend on everything he has, everything he's done. And as our awareness and our neediness for him grows, so does our realization and our understanding of his amazing and abundant sufficiency. And it's more than just his sufficiency. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his faithfulness, his unconditional love, his comfort, his provision, and so much more. Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. That's our Jesus. And John 6:35 says, Jesus is the bread of life. We feast on him and the word of life. Jesus, we feast on him, the word of life. He is the word. And to feast means to enjoy, to take delight in, and to take pleasure in. And his word nourishes us. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. We feed on God's word because it nourishes us. It nurtures us. It cleanses us. It refreshes and renews us. It comforts us. It sustains us. And it supports us. It refreshes us, leads us, guides us, and restores our souls. Psalm 23, it says, you restore my soul. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And he promises to restore our minds, to restore our wills, and to restore our emotions, because in this journey of life, they get damaged. And we sang, He's our source of life. Jesus and his word are our source of life. And God's word feeds us, because if we don't read his word, if we don't take it in and receive it, if we don't nourish ourselves on his word, we can become spiritually anorexic. We end up living life in our own strength and using our own wisdom, which causes us to get exhausted and overwhelmed. And we make wrong choices, which leaves us wide open to the enemy. But how do we feed on God's word? Well, first of all, we read it. Now, I am a reader. I don't read massive chunks of the Bible all in one go like John does. He's sitting there smiling. He can read like chapters and chapters, but I read odd chunks of it, and we're all different. It's whatever suits us. And I'm aware too that some people aren't really readers. But if you're one of those people, what I would encourage you to do is just ask the Lord to give you a hunger to read his word. And at first, it is a discipline. It's like spending that portion of time with him every day. It's a discipline at first, but the more we do it, that discipline turns into a delight. So we read God's word, and we can meditate on the word of God. We can memorize the word of God. We can believe the word of God, pray the word of God, sing the word of God, speak the word of God, and praise with the word of God, which we've been doing, and worship with the word of God. And looking at the word meditate means to think about, to contemplate, to focus, to keep turning it over and over in our minds, a bit like chewing the cud, which is what cows do. what they do is called rumination, because they swallow the food, they unswallow, and they re-chew it and re-swallow. And I googled this. Apparently, they spend about 8 hours a day chewing their cud, which is about 30,000 chews a day. And that's what the cows do. And that's what we're encouraged to do as we meditate on the truth of God's word. It might be just one line, one verse. We pick it up and we take it with us and we meditate on it throughout the day. And God's word is primarily not a set of rules. That's how I understand it anyway. It's a very, very powerful love letter of helps, instructions, and it guides each one of us, which in turn enables and empowers us to get our thoughts in line with the truth and on the right track. And it fills the emptiness of our souls. As we said, he restores our souls, our minds, our wills, and our emotions, which can get empty. And again, 2 Corinthians 10:5 is one of my favourites. We take every thought, not some thoughts, every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, the word of God. And when we do that, we can resist the enemy and we can pull in the word of God. For instance, he works everything together for our good, which is what I was meditating on Sunday afternoon, excuse me, when John and I broke down 150 miles from home on the busy M6, and we were there on the hard shoulder waiting for the RAC. And I thought, I don't like this. But thank you, Lord, that you work all things together for our good. And that, and I was praying and just confessing that, and it kept me in peace. And it is that perfect peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and guards our minds in Christ Jesus. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus, who he is and what he's done, what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary and through his resurrection. And as we spend time with him and get into his word, and we know what it says, so that when the lies of the enemy come to taunt and to torment us and try to steal from us, we can take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and come against the lies and the deceit of the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit is part of the armour of God that he's given to us. In doing this, we stop giving the enemy ownership over certain areas of our lives. It's warfare. But he is a defeated foe. As an act of our will, we can choose to meditate on God's word and not our problems. Otherwise, small issues will grow and cause us to be overwhelmed, when the truth is that in God and with him, we are overcomers and we are more than conquerors. And that's each one of us. It's not just the person sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you. It's you. It's each and every one of us. Despite what has gone on in our lives and what is going on right now, in Christ, we are overcomers and we are more than conquerors. God's word is the antidote to problems. It has substance. And it counteracts and it comes against the poisonous lies, the vitriol of the enemy. Now, when I was preparing this, that word vitriol came to me. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I know exactly what it means. I think it means things that aren't very good. And it's certainly not a word I think I've ever used. So I love my dictionary. And I looked it up. And it means bitter. We're talking about the vitriol of the enemy now. It means bitter, caustic, scathing, venomous, and withering. It's a very real description of what the enemy seeks to do to our thinking and subsequently to our lives. But when we get into the Word of God, his Word gets into us. And I'm pointing to our minds and our hearts. When we get into God's word, his word gets into us. And it's allowing the word of God to have its home in our hearts and our minds, as in Colossians 3:16. It gives us insight, wisdom, peace, and also enables us to see and understand people and situations, circumstances, from God's perspective. We can see people through God's eyes with his perspective, and that is very helpful. We're then in a place where we're not trying to understand them in our flesh. It's God allowing us to see people and situations as he sees them. Hebrews 4:12, which Paul read earlier. His word is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. And it will even penetrate the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and the secret motives of our hearts. God's word is very powerful. It does stuff, good stuff. And as I said earlier, our thoughts, words, emotions, and relationships are changed by the guidance he gives us through scripture. Now, most of us will know the story of David and Goliath. If we look at David when he faced Goliath, he knew that he was going to be king one day because Samuel had already anointed him to be king. And David stood before Goliath with complete confidence and trust in his God. He fought Goliath, and as we know, he killed him. He didn't doubt, and he wasn't in a place of unbelief. But he then had to wait, David then had to wait for 7 years, which may probably have felt like 70 years, because Saul was absolutely mad. Saul was operating in complete madness, and he was still on the throne of Israel. And during this time, David had to flee for his life and hide in caves, surrounded by his enemies. And again, I refer to Psalm 23. It says, "You have set a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And I love that, because it just shows us feasting at this table and our enemies are there and they can't do a thing. David saw Israel devastated, his family taken captive, and his friends killed. But David didn't give up. He carried on believing and trusting his God. Psalm 39:7, "My hope is in you." And he never lost confidence in God's promises. He kept focused and on top of the circumstances. And let's remind ourselves that in God, we are not under our circumstances. Whatever they are, we're all going through stuff. We're not under, because in God, we are above them. We're ruling and reigning with him above our circumstances. And there's another old saying. It says, "God promised it, I believe it, that settles it." God promised it, I believe it, that settles it. David knew God as the all-sufficient one. And the word says too in Philippians 4:13 that we, each one of us, is sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And I would just say here that, you know, and I was saying to a couple of the girls at the back before we started, that is my thing. We are in him. We can talk about the Lord being with us. And I said earlier about him going before us and he's behind us as our rear guard. But he's actually in here. He's in us. In Christ we live and move and have our being. We're in him and he is in us. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And I'm sure that at some stage in our lives we've heard someone say, or we might have even said, "I'll take you at your word." And you know, we can always, always take God at his word. And apparently, the London Stock Exchange, their motto is "Dictum meum pactum." Now, at school, I did Latin for a year, and I think it's an amazing language. And as you know, we get so much of our English language from the Latin. "Dictum meum pactum." It means "my word is my bond." "Dictum meum pactum." My word is my bond, and God's word is his bond. He always, always keeps his promises. And the word of God is an access point into the presence of God. When we read his word, because we've said he is the word, we can come into the sanctuary of his presence and let the breath of his word fill us. I love that. Let the breath of his word fill us. His word is healing. It's balm for our souls, but we need to actually apply it to our lives. And one meaning of apply is to put to practical use. Exercise, practice, we apply it to our ordinary lives. We've got to put it on. We've got to use it. The truth of God's word obliterates every shadow of darkness, and the enemy's lies are stripped away, because God's word is truth, light, and life, and the enemy cannot stay or operate or try and operate where there is truth, light, and life. Psalm 119, a few verses from. The entrance of your word gives light, understanding, discernment to the simple. Your marvellous words are living miracles. No wonder I long to obey everything you say. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans, Lord. And I open my mouth and I inhale the word of God because I crave the revelation of your commands. I should have said right at the beginning, the scriptures I'm quoting will either be from the Amplified or the Passion Translation. And if you've not heard of the Passion, it's a translation from the Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. When we read God's word, we need to internalize it, personalize it, and verbalize it. I'm going to repeat that. When we read God's word, when we read the scriptures, we need to internalize it, personalize it, and verbalize it. It's good to speak it out. Sounds a bit strange listening to your own voice speaking out at first, but you get used to it. God's word sets us free and helps us to stay free. And a reminder that the word of God is truth. And when we know it as the truth, the reality, the power of the word of God impacts us deeply. And we will start to see things differently. We will start to see and understand them, as I said earlier, from God's perspective. And see and understand people from God's perspective. We're all on that journey. We're all still learning. God is the force behind his word. He's the life and creative power that spoke this whole universe into existence. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the more we read, the more we meditate on and absorb God's word, the more we know we can completely trust and rely on him. Because at the end of the day, there's no alternative. The word of God is the story of God's love, plan, and purpose for each one of us. And as we read, meditate, think on it, and allow it to unfold in our hearts and our minds, then our fears and worries will dissolve. They will no longer have any power over us, and like the old chorus, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we read his word, questions are answered and we find peace, strength, and guidance for living our everyday lives. And I'm just going to finish with, God's word is truth, where we find comfort and strength, provision and hope, wisdom and knowledge, love and faith, encouragement and confidence, forgiveness and redemption, forgiveness and redemption, peace and joy, contentment and rest, deliverance and freedom, clarity and direction, renewal and restoration, fruitfulness and purpose, life and fulfillment, courage, healing and wholeness, and security and stability. That's what we find in God's word. Jesus is the word. Lord, help us to have a hunger for your word, to meditate on it, to receive it, to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.